Doing all right. How you doing, Brother Bill?
So what'd you think about our Music City last night on TV and that crowd?
Well, I mean, it was mighty impressive when they came on the air. I mean, I knew it was going to be a scene from what people had been telling me throughout the week, but I didn't expect it to be that kind of scene there. So I thought, I mean, I wish the weather would have been a little bit better for you guys there, but my goodness, when that came on the air, I mean, that was a good look for the city of Nashville. It certainly was. And that's a guy, you know, in Vegas that's used to crowds and spectacles and whatnot.
Right.
That was certainly a spectacle last night.
200 and something thousand. Now, of that 200 and something thousand, how many of those you think are gamblers?
I'm trying to, you know, when it comes to the NFL, I mean, obviously the NFL is the most popular bet.
Right.
Probably 10%. So you know, 20,000+. That's enough, though.
Oh, man. No question. No question. Anything happen, and we'll get into – look, we always talk college football, but this time of year we've got latitude. We've got ways we can expand out a little bit. Anything happen in the draft last night that surprised you?
Well, I mean – there was, but, I mean, it's going to be no different take than the Mel Kuypers of the world because, I mean, that's where, you know, when it comes to the draft, that's kind of where we're at. I mean, we got guys like Mel Kuyper and whatnot that have created an entire industry as far as draft analysis. And I'll say this, you know, from a Vegas perspective, last night doesn't move too much the needle. It might move the needle for the betting public. It doesn't for guys like myself. In fact, the only thing we're looking at is maybe if we get the instance that a rookie quarterback is going to start week one, and that's going to be a negative for that team. You know, for the most part, nothing really was moved. But, I mean, obvious stories. I thought that Oakland at 4 really reached for Cleveland Farrell. I thought they could have gotten him, you know, 15, 20 spots later. Daniel Jones is a very interesting pick at number 6. I'm not as negative as the national media on Daniel Jones. I think he's going to be pretty solid. I just think you could have probably gotten him later instead of at the number 6 pick. But if you like your quarterback, hey, go more power to you. Go and get him even at 6 when I think you overdrafted him. But, you know, a couple surprises, Drew Lock not getting drafted. From a Vegas perspective, I mean, the over-under on quarterbacks taken – in the first round was 3.5. Three were taken. But the over 3.5 quarterbacks taken was bet up to like minus 500, Bill. You got to bet $5 to win $1. I mean, the thought process was there was, you know, a greater than an 80% chance that, you know, 4 quarterbacks would be taken. So that was a big-time surprise there that Drew Lock didn't go.
What number do you recall – Jerry Tillery for Notre Dame. Where did he go? I know he went in the first round, but where did he go?
Yeah, I think he ended up to the Chargers.
Okay.
28, which,
okay.
You know, some mocks had him there. I mean,
you're right.
Maybe a little bit, but they filled a position in need. I really like Jerry Tillery, so I didn't think that was a reach by any stretch. It was good to see. I mean, I'll put my Notre Dame fan hat on. I mean, it was good to see Notre Dame get a first rounder. I mean, there was a long stretches in the Bob Davey and the Ty Willingham era where Notre Dame wasn't very well represented when it came to the NFL draft.
Were you surprised? I'm sitting right here in Nashville, so all the stations and all the media, they're talking about Jeffrey Simmons going 19th, coming off a knee. You had the incident before he got to Mississippi State, the domestic violence incident, were you shocked that they made that pick?
Yeah, I mean, I still thought he was going to go in the first round. I thought it'd be late first round. I mean, I actually had him going to the Chargers, so
right.
I thought the Chargers might take him because they had a position of need at defensive tackle. Yeah, I mean, those are two major red flags there. But, I mean, if we're just talking talent, I think Jeffrey Simmons is a top 10 type of talent. So, I mean, clearly he fell probably about 10 spots from where he probably should have been. But, yeah, I get it that people thought he probably should have dropped a little bit more. We'll see. I mean, was that a big-time position in need for Tennessee? Yeah, I mean, they definitely need some help on the defensive line, but, I mean, they also need wide receiver, guard, tight end, you name it. They had plenty of needs on the offensive side of the ball.
I was going to ask you from a betting point of view, the new rule about overtime, in the fifth overtime, if you get that far, and those games are rare, like the A&M-LSU game. A few years back you had the Ole Miss-Arkansas game. Tennessee and Alabama had a game like that too. But if now in the fifth overtime you're simply going for two, you're not lining up at the 25, does that help the better who's got the under, or is that so rare that you don't even take that into account?
Yeah, I mean, I like your thought process, Bill. I mean, it's only going to affect maybe one game a season out of, what, 800-900 when
right.
it comes to FBS. And even in that little small niche, I mean, if you're going to the fifth overtime and you still got the under in play, then of course it would certainly help. But, I mean, when it comes to college football and you got five overtimes, I think you're in trouble as it is when it comes to the under. So, it would help. I wish they'd maybe even make that earlier. And that was covered and whatnot, and I get it because it was, you know, it resulted in a rule change. But the reality is it's going to only impact maybe one game an entire season out of, like, what, 800 or so. So not moving the needle too much as far as Vegas goes.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com. We talk handicapping, college football. We give college basketball some love when it's March in particular, maybe a little bit before March, but mainly college football right here on the show. If you do have a question, hashtag AskBP on Twitter, or you can dial up 888-702-5494. Clemson and Alabama had three taken. And the SEC led the way with nine taken. But Clemson and Alabama with three taken. And we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, Brad. The chalkiness of college football and the need to have another 07, which was total chaos back in 07. But I don't see any seasons coming up. I guess it'll have to be a surprise to me that appears like it's a chaotic season. We don't have those anymore, right?
No, I mean, we've only had, since that crazy, I'm aging myself here, but, I mean, 1990 was really crazy, and I know a lot of people don't remember that, but really since 1990, the one crazy season was, obviously 07. I don't think we're going to get it too much. Alabama and Clemson certainly aren't going anywhere. We'll see Ohio State under a new coach, and maybe that's a little bit of a chink in their armor, but they're still, at least on paper this season, you know, the top five caliber, top five, six caliber. Oklahoma's not going away. I think Georgia, from a recruiting aspect, done about as good as anybody the last two, 3 years. They're not going away. I just don't see it. I agree with you. I think it would be good. I'm actually happy that teams like Texas A&M, and Oklahoma had really good recruiting classes, and I think they're really set at head coach there. And I know I'm not anti-South by any stretch, but I don't want college football to be a regional sport. I want it to be national. And the fact that maybe some of the power in college football has shifted a little bit towards the West, a little Southwest there, that might help. But yeah, I know certainly out here on the West Coast, college football desperately needs USC to get their act together. Washington looks good. Oregon looks good. But, we need a little bit more to get away from the Alabama and Clemson, and I just don't think that's going to be at least the case this year and, you know, most likely in the next few years here.
Brad Powers, bradpowersports.com. Yeah, 07 was crazy. We had a two-loss team, LSU, win the national championship, played Ohio State in the championship game. 1990, the season started with Colorado and Tennessee opening up against each other. Both teams loaded with talent. That game ended up in a tie.
Yep.
Tennessee ended up having two ties that year. An Auburn game was a tie, and then they lost two that year. And Colorado went on to share the national championship with Georgia Tech that year. Now, you're right. That's an odd year.
Yeah,
very odd.
I still, you know, pound on my table that, you know, Colorado's probably the weakest team to ever win it. I mean, not only did they tie Tennessee, but they lost a game.
Correct.
On top of that, they had the fifth down game, infamous game against Missouri, where they scored a touchdown on fifth down late in the game to win. And then, of course, one of the worst moments in my young childhood as far as sports goes, I mean, the callback on the punt return on Rocket Ishmael in the Orange Bowl was just devastating. So I'm not a fan of the 1990 Colorado Buffaloes.
I remember that game, man. I remember where I was sitting. That Colorado,
I was a young little kid, what, 6 or 7 years old, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I had tears in my eyes when they called that one back.
You look like the Northwestern kid in the basketball promo, right?
That was certainly me. That's real close to what I looked like that night.
Oh, man. Yeah, that year was crazy. Tennessee had loaded, compared to Tennessee today, loaded with talent, a national championship roster, and they tied two games. They lost to a big underdog Alabama team. Gene Stallings was just getting started at Alabama. That was the 9-6 game. And, boy, you're talking about a classic underachieving team. But the other thing was that 1990 season is Georgia Tech and Bobby Ross. I mean, when's Georgia Tech going to be competing for national championships? How about that?
Not anytime soon. And, I mean, they only had one blemish on theirs, and it was a tie. And they went out, and I get it, Nebraska wasn't a world beater, but they crushed them in the Citrus Bowl by, I think, like 3 touchdowns plus. So
right.
I think the coaches ended up giving it to them. So, yeah, I mean, that's Georgia Tech winning a national championship is, what an outlier. I mean, that's almost comparable to Butler almost winning a national title in college hoops a few years back.
With the exception of BYU winning it in 84, I guess it was, or Colorado, Georgia Tech in 90, a two-loss LSU team in 07. We just don't have those days anymore, do we? It's just it's not set up for that to happen anymore.
No, it's not. And people that cry about the playoff, I get it. The inclusion of teams is so important to them, but let's face it, anything can happen in one game setting, you know, turnovers or whatnot, maybe a key injury. But the more you expand the playoffs, and I'm one of the few guys that's, you know, careful when it comes to the 8 and the 16 numbers. You're just not going to, in college football, these teams, the UCFs of the world, yes, it can happen for one game, but you got to turn around and do it another time and another time after that. I actually think it's less like, well, I mean, I get it that they have a 0% chance now because they can't really get included, but I just don't see those teams winning it when you got to do it multiple times now to pull the big upset.
Brad Powers with us. We'll get the first break. BradPowersSports.com. And again, we'll let you know exactly how to get all his information about college football, pro football, basketball, all the gambling. He's got it for you, the newsletter, everything you will need. Let's take the break here. Hour number 3, Omni Nashville Hotel.
A wreck near Northwest Liquors on Dr. D.B. Todd Jr. Boulevard and Buchanan Street. Still clearing wrecks in Hermitage on 40 West just before Spence Lane and on Central Pike in front of Summit Hospital. 40 West is extremely slow through Hermitage, so is 24 West and Eastbound. Prince's Hot Chicken, the original hot chicken restaurant. Download the Prince's Hot Chicken app and pick up your order for lunch or dinner. I'm A.J. Rose with your on-time traffic.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on homeowners insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you have a cute little reading nook for those rainy days when you want to curl up with a good book, but you don't even read, so you just sit in there during thunderstorms and scroll through memes on your phone and laugh in the darkness. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the dark, meme-filled corner you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
Winter's over, and lucky lawns everywhere are getting Scotts Turf Builder Halts Crabgrass Preventer from the Home Depot. Right now, buy a bag and you'll save up to $25 on a bag of Turf Builder Weed and Feed. Prevent crabgrass, weed and feed your grass, and save up to $25. Guess your lawn's not the only lucky one. Today is the day for doing, with savings on Weed and Feed when you buy a bag of Turf Builder with Halts. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. $25 savings on a 43-pound bag. Selection varies by store.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show.
This is not. Did you just fall out of your chair? Are you okay? You're sweating on your forehead.
I'm back now. All right, that's good. Well, I'm trying to plug my computer in underneath there, and then
you fell out of the chair.
Yeah. It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show on WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Cloudy through mid-morning, then clearing with a high near 71 degrees. Northwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. And as we move through Friday night, clear with a low around 46. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jimmy O'Neill.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Bill King is the motherfucking 12th data point of college football.
Comedy Nashville Hotel, we're, not that far from it. We're at the Ted Rhodes Golf Course for the Tennessee State University Golf Tournament fundraiser. Brad Powers out in Vegas with us this hour. Hashtag AskBP if you have a question for him. Hawkeye Jason on Twitter says, yeah, I remember the 1990 season with the chaos. He said, Brad, the Big Ten in 90 had a four-way tie for the championship that year.
I think Iowa ended up going to the Rose Bowl against Washington. Mm-hmm. I thought one of the more famous games was Desmond Howard getting tripped up in the end zone against Michigan State that year. But, yeah, I mean, it was just all over the place, chaos in college football, where – I mean, number one almost switched on a weekly basis for several teams. I think, you know, Notre Dame was number one a few different times that season. Miami was in the mix, but they lost early to BYU in the season. Yeah, I mean, college football, it would be awesome for college football to have another one of those. And we're nearing, 22 years now since 07? And, you know, if it's something that happens every quarter century, hopefully we can get it here in the next 3-4 years.
Grant says, Brad, if you could place a bet today on who would be the NFL top pick next year, who would that be?
Ooh, probably Justin Herbert, Oregon. I mean, teams are going to reach for a quarterback. I don't know if it's such a reach. I would take Justin Herbert at the pro level, maybe even over Kyler Murray. And if he even came out this year, but I think he's in store for a really good season, and they're a very experienced team. He's got the prototypical size, 6'5" or so. He's pretty mobile, nice arm. Going to be a 3.5-4 year starter for the Ducks, so plenty of college experience. I'm thinking it'll be Justin Herbert for Oregon. Will be your top quarterback. Second quarterback probably be Tua from Alabama.
Can you get that bet today?
That's a good call. You know, the one site that's had the most, at least, draft props available for this draft is Bet Online. I don't see anything like that, but not right now. But when it's over, when the draft completes over the weekend, a lot of times you'll see somebody put up who will be next year's number one pick, and we can talk about it next week.
Justin Herbert, who is listed at, what, 6'7", which means he's probably 6'5", but still an incredible physical specimen. Tua will be a junior. No way he comes back after that. Grant wants to know your thoughts on Jake Fromm. Is he a first-round pick?
I really like Jake Fromm a lot. I could see him being a first-round pick. I mean, it's going to be more on him this year. I mean, they lost a lot of players at the skill position. You know, two years ago it was running backs, and this year will be the wide receiver core and also the tight end. So more will be on his plate. I mean, I like him enough, Jake Fromm, that I bet him to win the Heisman at 40-1. So if he's what I anticipate to be close to an invite at New York City, I think that'll put him certainly in the mix when it comes to being a first-round draft pick.
And for somebody maybe checking us out for the first time here, when you bet a Jake Fromm at 40-1 to win the Heisman, you're doing that based on value. You're not necessarily doing it because you think he's going to win it, but it's a value bet for you that's worth the risk, correct?
Exactly. Wow, I'll tell you, very sharp on your part, Bill. Yeah, do I think Jake Fromm is really going to win the Heisman? You know, I think there's a chance. I think there's a better chance than what there is at 40-1. I think his price should be 20-1. When you got 40-1 and double the value, therefore I'll bet it. And when it comes to the Heisman, that's the one little niche market where, hey, it's okay to bet long shots. I think in the last 10 years, the only two players that weren't 20-1 or greater at the start of the season and went on to win the Heisman, Marcus Mariota and Baker Mayfield. Everybody else has been 20-1 or greater in the preseason. Obviously, you want to go quarterback. 16 of the last 19 have been quarterbacks, and you want to take a guy that's going to play on a highly rated team. I mean, the average regular season wins, last 19 Heisman winners, right around 11. So Jake Fromm, you know, 20-1 or better, he fits that. He's a quarterback, and he's going to be, in my opinion, on one of the top five teams in the country. So he fit the bill on all those. That's why I wasn't afraid to pull the trigger.
Brad Powers, BradPowersSports.com is with us. Use the hashtag AskBP. Jeff2 on Twitter says, Brad, how much of an effect does player draft status go into a sports book win-loss predictions for the next year? He says, here's an example. Mississippi State had three first-rounders. Is it assumed that Sportsbook will set a much lower win total for 2019 because of this?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly plays a part. When it comes to, you know, Mississippi State, I mean, obviously that's kind of an outlier for that program, the fact that they had three go in the first round. And, hey, it's not Alabama or Ohio State or one of those teams doing it that's used to losing three guys in the first round each and every year. Certainly, you got to downgrade Mississippi State, but that's just one. I mean, the rest of it's going to be, well, you know, they lost three guys in the first round, obviously three of their best players, but who else do they got coming back and who they play? I can tell you, you know, Mississippi State's season win total, last I checked, was right around 8. And the over was the preferred side where you had to lay $160 to win 100. So I think Mississippi State won, like, what, right around 9 games last year. So hasn't impacted the Bulldogs too much. But I know it was his first year, but when you saw the type of talent that Mississippi State had on the field, a little bit of an underachieving season there the first year under Joe Moorhead if you got three first-round picks and you're losing to Iowa in the bowl game.
Back to betting long shots because of the value that might end up paying off. You took Lamar Jackson. Just to remind the audience, a couple of years ago, you got Lamar Jackson and you won it. What was it, 100-1?
100-1. So I didn't bet enough. I wish, you know, when you win it, you're like, man, I wish I would have bet more. But I think 100-1 is about as long of a shot that you can get the cash. But I mean, the market's getting a little sharper now. I mean, that stuff like that doesn't last too long, but you could even have gotten Kyler Murray was very well known last year, but I mean, I did have a ticket on him too, and he was like 22, 25-1, and I know the cynics out there are going to say, hey, how many Heisman bets if you have all these tickets, how many of these Heisman bets are you betting each year? Only a couple. Just again, I follow that formula. Take a quarterback on a team that I expect to be in contention, to be possibly top 10. And if I see him now up there 20 to 1 or greater, I'm not afraid to bet it. So even though it's only been 3 or 4, I've had a couple of tickets, nice winning tickets here in the last 3-4 years.
Oh, you've made way more than you've bet on those. On those
yeah,
Heisman.
I
my
have.
God.
And
not even close.
Some. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Plus unit, there's a big green in there. It's not like I'm betting 20 or 25 guys each year.
Well, and here's the other part of that calculation. Long shot Heisman bet. Quarterback on a team that's going to be winning.
Yep.
But here's the other one. Here's the other key ingredient here. It's got to be a head coach that is offensive-oriented, who is – allowing their quarterback to pile up stats. It's got to be a guy that does that.
Yep, and that's the concern with Jake Fromm at Georgia. I mean,
right.
Kirby's a little conservative, and that's why I think Jake Fromm was in that 40-1 range to begin with. I still think it's wrong, and I think a lot of the market has him down to 20-1. It was just a kind of a bad number there. But, yeah, that would be the concern with Jake Fromm, that they have a head coach there in Kirby that's probably not willing to air it out as much as what he might need to win it. But, I mean, if you got 40-1 and Jake Fromm sitting there in New York City, I also do it from a marketing aspect. I mean, I'll at least have that ticket for marketing there if I can at least get him to New York City.
Absolutely. Lamar Jackson, Bob Petrino. Bob Petrino is a quarterback guy. Lincoln Riley. And his quarterbacks. That's a no-brainer. What? By the way, what is Jalen Hurts right now? Is there any value there or not?
Yeah,
I would think.
He's like 8-1. And
I was going to say the market's already taken the past into account here. It's priced in already, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if this was 10 years ago, there really wasn't a significant Heisman market. You know, 10+ years ago, it was just a few books out there. I mean, Jalen Hurts, a quarterback transfer probably would have been in that 20-1 range, and that would have been worth a bet. But 8-1, I'm not doing it. I think he's going to have a really good season, but that's not, at least at this point in the season. We're talking in April. Maybe I'll have a re-evaluation come August and consider it, but I'm not going to tie up my money for 4 months here when I don't think that line's going to move too much at 8-1.
What's Trevor Lawrence, 2-1?
Yeah, 7-2. So I mean, +350. 2 is the favorite right now, but at 5-2. So, and look, all this long shot Heisman talk. I'll be perfectly frank. I'll be really surprised, Bill, if it's not Tua or Trevor this year. I mean, that's if you combine. And I'm going to look for you know, maybe some props out there. You know, Tua and Trevor versus the field. And I'll see what that's offered at, but I got to think that's almost close to even money, Tua and Trevor versus the field this year.
That's not – well, now, again, for Brad, you had the field versus Duke in the NCAA tournament. And, well, by the way, what were the odds on that? I forget.
Yeah, I had to lay -260. So yeah, on the no. So I had to bet $260 to win 100. But I ended up betting $5,200 to win 2 Gs.
Right, and hit. And you told us about that obviously before the tournament. You have to get your bet in, and Duke was fairly overwhelming as the favorite for the tournament, weren't they? So.
Oh yeah, no question about it. I mean, if you're taking a few odds. On Duke, they were the second shortest favorite in the last decade in college hoops. Only the Kentucky team in 2015 had shorter odds entering the tournament.
Brad, tell everybody how they can get your service before we get to the break.
Yeah, almost all this information we've been talking about is available right now to download for free. You just go to bradpowersports.com, dead top of the page, click on the Bill King tab. You can download. I got a draft guide up there if you're still interested in seeing where I rate the players as far as the NFL draft. That's up there for free. The spring college football preview guide, that's up there for free. If you like what you see and say, hey, Brad, it looks like he knows what he's talking about with all that information, I want to sign up for an early bird price for the season. It's just $69. And you'll only see that price offered if you click the Bill King tab. Everyone else...
He gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction.
Omni Nashville Hotel. We're on the golf course. Ted Rhodes, TSU fundraiser. What is that? Oh, thank you, Greg. Greg just, every time I see Greg, he hands me money. It's amazing. God, it's amazing. I get rich just off him. Just mooching off Pogie. It's how I get rich every day. I'm gonna take this and put it on Trevor Lawrence. 1-to-1 odds for the Heisman. Brad Powers, BradPowersSports.com with us. Brad, back to the conversation we were having about value and betting on Heisman long shots, so to speak. Not necessarily predicting that, for example, Jake Fromm at 40-to-1 is going to win it, but it's worth the $100 or whatever you're going to put down on it just in case. But it's only quarterback-centric, right? You can't really do that, even with running backs anymore, can we?
Yeah, I don't think you can. I mean, the odds are against you. Again, last 19 Heisman winners, 16 of them have been quarterbacks. And I think, two of them have been Alabama running backs. So, I mean, I guess if you're going to go with the running back, you make sure it's from the Crimson Tide. But, yeah, I just don't think running backs are worth it. But with that being said, I'll tell you what, a couple of years ago, Bryce Love was a smaller ticket I had. He was the one running back I bet, and he was 100-to-1 a couple years ago, replacing Christian McCaffrey in a run heavy offense that had a history of producing. You look at Toby Gerhart was the second place finisher in the Heisman. Christian McCaffrey was the second place finisher. So I did put that on Bryce Love, and he finished second. So nothing pays for second, but. That just make sure if you do a running back, it's at a place like a Stanford or Alabama where they're very run heavy.
Yeah, they're gonna feed the running back. Trying to think, I voted for Mark Ingram in 2009. I remember I went back and forth between Colt McCoy and Mark Ingram for the Heisman that year, and Colt McCoy. Actually, I'd switched my pick to Colt McCoy. I hadn't turned it in yet because Mark Ingram had a bad Iron Bowl, and I thought he sat there and he pouted, and so I docked him for that. And then he had a really good Florida SEC championship game, and got to remember, Colt McCoy got Ndamukong Suh'd in the Big 12 championship game, so I switched him there at the last minute. But since Mark Ingram, do we have – maybe I'm skipping somebody. Has there been another running back?
I'm trying to think. His name's escaped me. Derrick Henry. Alabama.
Oh, Derrick Henry. Yeah. Yep. That's it, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yep.
Wow. I hadn't even thought about it in that perspective, and I voted for Derrick Henry too, but wow. Yeah, that I'll tell you what now. That Big 12 championship game, Ndamukong Suh performance might be the best individual defensive line performance I've seen in a big game in modern history.
No question about it. I mean, that's about as memorable as it gets.
Wow.
I think he had like 4 sacks, and he could have had 4 more.
I know.
Yeah, that was – I mean, that's memorable. I mean, that's – I can't believe it's going on 10 years now. But yeah, that Big 12 championship game, and, I mean, some people forget. I know Texas and Nebraska fans aren't, but that was also the game where – the clock issue at the very end.
Correct.
Where Colt McCoy threw it out of bounds there. Was there a second left? Isn't there? And that would have been a whole – opened the door for maybe the Cincinnati and Brian Kelly get in to the national championship. I think TCU was in the mix there. Certainly Alabama wouldn't have been playing Texas. It would have been very interesting to see who the Crimson Tide would have ended up playing then.
Best thing about that game, and Crazy Charlie can attest to this, though, is after the game, you had Bo Pelini, but not Bo Pelini per se, but his brother Carl, looking to fight anybody he could get his hands on. Remember, he attacked the cameraman? They were furious. They were screaming, "Where's Dan Beebe?" They were looking. They were trying to go find – oh, that was a great post game now.
It was, and I think Carl's reunited with Bo this year down at Youngstown State.
Matter of fact, they announced that he is the successor, right? He's going to take over.
I thought so. Yeah, I think that sounds right, Bill.
at Youngstown State. Yeah, those guys, and I'm not going to tell the story on someday I will. I need more distance. I need the statute of limitations, and then Bo might look me up and have me assassinated. But Bo and Carl had a big falling out at Nebraska, and it involved Carl being a bad boy. Let me just put it that way. So, you're from Ohio. Youngstown politics is rough, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. we're talking sports gambling. A lot of the industry came from that town. So
correct.
Yep. But I'll tell you, man, you got some football minds there with Trestle being the president there.
Well, yeah, and I'll just say this. Charlie and I have talked about this on the air. When you violate Youngstown, let me put it this way. If you violate family, if you break the family code, it's not good. And yeah. That happened at Nebraska. I'll just leave it at that. But I think you're right. I think everything for now has been soothed over a little bit. Hey, Brad, I'll let you get out of here. Tell everybody one more time about how they can get your information.
Yeah, appreciate it. Fun show, Bill. Go to bradpowersports.com, dead top of the page. Click on the Bill King tab. Download all my issues. We're already getting ready for the 2019 season here when it comes to college football, the NFL draft guide. Download those for free if you like what you see, $69. For the entire season, college and the pro level. You get it emailed to you monthly during the offseason, weekly during the season, $69 all the way through next year's Super Bowl. Go to bradpowersports.com, click on the Bill King tab, top of the page.